Hello and welcome to New World Witchery's Folk Magician's Notebook episode for February of 2023. These are short monthly episodes that will offer a brief overview of folk magical topics and information that might be useful to you over the coming month. As always, we highly recommend that you also pick up a copy of a reputable and reliable almanac for folk magic, such as the Witch's Almanac, Llewellyn Witch's Datebook, or your local Farmer's Almanac. Let's take a look at the moon for February of 2023. The February full moon falls on Sunday the 5th and will be in the bright, beautiful sign of Leo. It is sometimes known as the full snow moon. The new moon will arrive on Monday, February 20th in the sign of Pisces, which will also be the sun sign at the time for a dreamy double threat. Notable astrological dates. Welcome to the Year of the Rabbit, according to the Chinese zodiac tradition. The rabbit is a symbol of fast-moving things, especially thoughts and luck, which makes the coming year somewhat auspicious for those launching new creative, romantic, or business endeavors. However, the rabbit is also a timid and cautious creature too, so a measure of carefulness should also be observed in any ventures that you begin. The month begins waxing through Cancer, making it a good time for any home-related work or projects. Several holidays fall right at the beginning of the month, including the Neo-Pagan Imbolc and the folk Catholic holidays of St. Bridget's Day, Candlemas, and St. Blaise's Day. It's a good time all around for any domestic blessings that you may need to do, over things ranging from your candles and lights, to your cloth goods, papers, metal goods, and even doorways. By the end of the first week, we're already at our full Leo moon on the 5th, a great time for beauty magic and work related to glamour and glitz. This is a good time to put up mirror charms in your home and to put out some cut flowers around the house if you happen to have some, and be on the lookout for early blooms of crocuses, henbit, dead nettle, and snowdrops too. There's a comet in the sky at the beginning of the month too, named C/2022E3ZTF rolls right off the tongue. This is a bright green comet that only passes close enough to be seen every 50,000 years or so. It may be just visible to the naked eye by the end of January and in the first few days of February, but will be visible with good binoculars or a telescope in dark rural areas through almost the middle of the month. The last time it came by, humans were hanging out with Neanderthals, so this is a very rare treat. Once we've done with comets and full moons, the middle of the month settles down with a passage through Virgo and Libra, then a waning quarter moon in Scorpio on the 13th. This can be a good time to spend some time working on fertilizing gardens or preparing your first early seedling trays for the garden later on, or for enriching your divination or other introspective magics. The waning moon's passage through Capricorn and Aquarius can also be a good time for doing work to bind or banish anything that's keeping you from reaching your goals in the coming month, such as bad habits. The new moon in Pisces on the 20th is a rich time for dream work and working with otherworldly entities and beings. But be safe if you choose to enter this space through hedge-crossing activities. As the month draws to a close, it's a short one after all, we'll be moving through Taurus and into waxing quarter moons in Gemini. That will make it a good time to do work for communication and opening roads, which balances the banishing obstacles work earlier in the month. Next up, we'll take a look at cards, divination, and proverbs for the month. Now each month, Lane and I will pull a card for each other, one playing card and one tarot card or oracle card. We'll indicate the meanings of those cards in general and then read them for the other person specifically as a way to get a sense of how they're read in actual practice. For Lane this month, I pulled the King of Clubs, which in general meaning is a father, a judge, or a general. I pulled this card from my Animal Kingdom playing card this month, and the King of Clubs is represented by a crocodile in what looks like naval regalia. This makes sense with this card, because it indicates a need for some direction and guidance, the way someone might steer a ship, and you probably need to turn to someone who can provide insight and wisdom and help you reach your goals. They may have a bit of a gruff manner, those crocodile teeth can be intimidating, and there's a chance they won't be completely transparent with you if they don't judge that you're ready for something. But remember that crocodiles and alligators will often carry their young in their sharp-toothed mouths, keeping them safe and protecting them as they take them to safety and security. So try to have a thick skin if you can when you receive criticism and take advice from others, and believe they have your best interests at heart.
Today I'm using the Rider-Waite tarot deck, and the card I pulled was the Devil. It's kind of alarming at first. It is an image of the Devil perched on a black pedestal with two figures below him, a man and a woman, chained to that pedestal by the neck. These figures are nude, have small horns, but they don't seem to be in any distress. The chains could, easily be removed by slipping them off. The two figures at the Devil's feet are reminiscent of the lovers. As Pollock talks about in her book, 78 Degrees of Wisdom, if you reduce 15, the number of the Devil card, to 6, you now have the Lover's card. The two figures are similar, standing in the same positions on both cards. Going through the deck, the Lovers was the 9th card from the bottom of the deck, so either it doesn't hold much influence in this particular reading, or it is deeply buried. There are many meanings given to this card, such as violence, force, addictions, materialism, sexuality, and the shadow self. It could be a warning of sorts to be aware of addictive behaviors in yourself, lest they become unmanageable, especially codependent type relationships where the person themselves feels addicting. Pollock also mentions materialism not just being the appreciation of money and expensive things, but also the view that nothing exists outside of the senses. Think of the story about the frog and the boiling pot. To me, the serene faces of the two people chained to the Devil reveal that while we may feel comfortable in our lives, or simply adopted the "this is fine" mentality, it could be actively harming us.
Our folk divination method of the month, reading candles. With it being the month for blessing candles and honoring figures like Bridget, associated with fire after all, we thought we'd take a look at reading candles for divination. Now, we've talked before about reading the wax when it's dropped in water, a form of divination known as molybdomancy, but this time we wanted to talk more about reading the flame and soot of the candle. There's a wonderful article on this topic written by Jake Richards, folk magician and author of Backwoods Witchcraft. He begins by advising some common sense. Don't just leave candles burning unattended, check for drafts, make sure the candle isn't overloaded with oils and herbs, and so forth. Then he notes that you should pay attention to a few things about the candle as you interpret its meanings. 1. The wax. As the wax strips off the candle, pay attention to the side that it goes to. If it flows towards the front of the candle, it's offering you information about the physical world, and towards the back of the candle means the spiritual or unseen world. If it flows to the left, it's offering insights to the past, while a flow to the right is about the future. Look for familiar shapes and symbols in the wax and the way it hardens, and think about the wax in connection to why you're burning the candle in the first place. If it's a love candle that makes a big pile to the left, you may not be entirely over that X just yet. 2. The flame. Watch how the flame burns too. If it's burning clean without much soot, it's usually a good sign and indicates that whatever you're divining about or working for with the candle will go well. Soot in the candle's jar or container doesn't necessarily mean anything bad. You can look for patterns and shapes there for information, of course. You can also see if the soot is mostly forming around the top of the candle's rim, in which case it means the working has cleared a blockage or curse away from your work. However, if the soot fills the whole candle jar all the way to the bottom, you'll need to do some uncrossing or curse-breaking work because something is in your way. Also note the color. Lighter-colored soot marks usually indicate something opening up, while darker ones indicate something obstructing. The size of the flame can also tell you things. A large, calm flame may indicate a powerful but helpful spirit's presence, while a little flickering or dancing flame may indicate something more impish. 3. Timing. Pay attention to how long the candle burns. If it takes 6 hours to burn out, that could indicate the results in 6 days or 6 months, depending on the nature of the working you're doing. Similarly, if it burns out far earlier than you expected, that may mean that the spell has been blocked or limited in some way. If it burns long and almost seems perpetual, that may mean an intense working that will take some time to pay off. 4. Circumstances. If the candle won't light or sparks and pops a lot, you may have someone trying to hinder the work somehow. Similarly, if the candle shatters or breaks, it may have taken a magical hit on your behalf, or be warning you of something bad coming. A house fire if you're not taking proper precautions, really. 5. Smoke. Finally, watch the smoke as it burns. You may see shapes or even spirits in the flame or the smoke that indicate what you're working with or potential outcomes. If the smoke drifts towards you, it's likely telling you that you'll get what you're working for. Smoke moving away from you may indicate that you'll need to do more work to get anything. Smoke drifting left can indicate an emotional answer or situation, while smoke drifting right means you need to work on thinking through the working logically. Don't forget, above all, be safe. Burn those candles, but make sure you're keeping an eye on them. And don't make your next candle burning a chance for whole house pyromancy. Our witch's proverb of the month: only the witch who cannot heal will say the herb has no virtue. From Don Jackson's Hedge Witchery. No. Our folktale of the month is The Foolish Timid Rabbit, a Jataka tale from the Buddhist tradition, translated by Ellen C. Babbitt. Once upon a time, a rabbit was asleep under a palm tree. All at once he woke up and thought, "What if the world should break up? What then would become of me?" At that moment, some monkeys dropped a coconut. It fell down on the ground just behind the rabbit. Hearing the noise, the rabbit said to himself, "The earth is all breaking up!" And he jumped up and ran just as fast as he could, without even looking back to see what made the noise. Another rabbit saw him running and called after him, "Why are you running so fast for?" "Don't ask me," he cried. But the other rabbit ran after him, begging to know what was the matter. And then the first rabbit said, "Don't you know the earth is all breaking up?" And on he ran, and the second rabbit ran with him. The next rabbit they met ran with them, and when he heard that the earth was breaking up, another rabbit joined them, until there were hundreds of rabbits running as fast as they could go. They passed a deer, calling out to him that the earth was all breaking up, and the deer ran with them. Then the deer called out to a fox to come along because the earth was all breaking up. On and on they ran, an elephant joined them, and at last the lion saw the animals running and heard their cry that the earth was breaking up. He thought there must be some mistake. So he ran to the foot of a hill in front of them and roared 3 times. Well, this stopped them, for they knew the voice of the king of beasts, and they feared him. "Why are you running so fast?" asked the lion. "Oh, King Lion," they answered him, "the earth is all breaking up." "Who saw it breaking up?" asked the lion.
"Well, I didn't," said the elephant. "Ask the fox. He told me about it."
"I didn't," said the fox.
"The rabbits told me about it," said the deer.
One after another of the rabbits said, "Well, I didn't see it, but another rabbit told me about it."
At last the lion came to the rabbit, who had first said the earth was all breaking up.
"Is it true that the earth is all breaking up?" the lion asked.
"Yes, O lion, it is," said the rabbit. "I was asleep under a palm tree. I woke up and thought, what would become of me if the earth should all break up? At that very moment, I heard the sound of the earth breaking up, and I ran away."
"Then," said the lion, "you and I will go back to the place where the earth began to break up and see what is the matter."
So the lion put the little rabbit on his back, and away they went like the wind. The other animals waited for them at the foot of the hill. The rabbit told the lion when they were near the place where it slept, and the lion saw just where the rabbit had been sleeping. He saw, too, that the coconut had fallen on the ground nearby. Then the lion said to the rabbit,
"It must have been the sound of the coconut falling to the ground that you heard, you foolish rabbit."
And so the lion ran back to the other animals and told them all about it. And if it had not been for the wise king of beasts, they might be running still. Most people probably know some version of this story. The one I grew up with was Chicken Little, which involved a young hatchling running around screaming, "The sky is falling," until someone finally points out that, in fact, no such thing is happening. In part, this is a story about not getting carried away with fear and taking the time to investigate things to be sure that we aren't overreacting or panicking. At the same time, the story also talks about how easy it is to fall into a mob mentality and join in on whatever fearful wave happens to be washing over us at the moment. We live in a very uncertain, often unstable world, and it can be hard to know when we're getting good or bad information. It can be tempting as well to trust the energy of the moment and get caught in the momentum of something like anger or judgment. But it's important, too, though, to remember that while we all have the rabbit in us sometimes, we can also have the lion. If you're familiar with the Strength Tarot card, you probably know it depicts a woman gently holding open a lion's mouth. Only that sort of calm, steady hand can tame the lion.
And so one of the things we can do for ourselves and those around us when panic and strife arrive is to take a breath and rally our own strength before reacting. We didn't call somebody a foolish rabbit, but we can point to the fallen coconuts on the ground. Truth, it seems, is its own kind of magic. We finish up our notebook entry with a little charm or craft each month to add a practical element to your work. This time, freezer spells. It's cold outside, so why not put some of that ice and snow to good use? A type of magical working that gained popularity in the mid to late 20th century involved using the icebox as a way to control someone else's metaphorical temperature. The idea was that you could get a person to chill by putting their name or something representative of them into the freezer. This is particularly helpful if they're actively working against you in some way, say by spreading gossip or causing conflicts. The freezer spell is nice because it simply cools their head and makes them stop focusing on you. To do this sort of working, all you really have to do is write down their full name on a piece of paper, along with any identifying astrological information, such as a birth sign if you have it, and then write what you want them to do on the back of it, such as stop spreading lies or leaving me alone. Those are good basic ones. Put this into a freezer-safe container and fill most of the way with water. As it freezes, it will begin to dissipate any conflict or anger or jealousy they feel towards you. Lane has used a version of this freezing spell to great success. She had a friend who was becoming a toxic presence in her life, but was also so wrapped up in her world that she couldn't deal with the stress of a dramatic friend breakup. So she wrote their name down on a slip of paper, placed it inside a cup of water, and stuck the whole thing in the freezer. Slowly but surely, they were iced out of her life, fairly painlessly, with none of the "how dare you" arguments she'd fully come to expect. If you want, you can also do this with the aforementioned winter weather, if you happen to live somewhere that gets it. Making a snowball or a snow doll, even, can be a good way to create a temporary spell environment and a container for the spirit you'd like to help you. Or you can try leaving your person's name in paper and putting it in a cup of water, then freezing it by leaving it in the chilly, sub-freezing temps for similar effects. Hope you make the most of the chilly weather. That's it for this entry into your New World Witchery Folk Magician's Notebook. Thank you so much for joining us this month, and we hope that you've had a wonderful month and that you have a great month ahead of you as well, even if it is the shortest month. But there is also always the proverb, which we didn't do this time, which says February is the longest month. So hopefully it's not that for you. If you'd like to help support this show and our work, you can always do so by visiting us at patreon.com/newworldwitchery, where you can throw a dollar a month or whatever you can afford our way and get some cool perks and things like that as well. You can find out more about us and our show and all the stuff we do at newworldwitchery.com. You can find our social media links and, you know, upcoming events and all sorts of other things at newworldwitchery.com/find-us. You can write to us and share your thoughts on this episode or any other at compassandkey@gmail.com or at newworldwitcherypodcast@gmail.com. Both of those will reach us. We do have transcripts available for our episodes starting in 2023 and going forward, as well as a few of them from 2022. So if you're interested in those, please do check out the show notes for a link to those as well. That'll about do it. And we'll be heading into February now. Hopefully have a great month ahead of you. And until next time, thanks for listening. Be well.